Grace and peace to you on Thirsty Thursday. Glad you are here and looking forward to how God will speak in and through us as we consider this text from John chapter 11, verses 32 to 44. John chapter 11, verses 32 to 44. And this is all about the story of Jesus, the disciples, the religious leaders, and Lazarus. And so here we go from the gospel text. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the gospel of our Lord. This is one of my favorite stories in Scripture. And it's because, again, of this both human and divine Jesus working for good, but yet fully connected with everything we as human beings go through. Jesus feels what we feel, and he wants to bring life in the midst of the tragedy. And so something for all of us, I think. Well, again, as we look at this passage, we read that Mary and Martha want to get to Jesus because Lazarus is gravely ill. And so they request that Jesus get there immediately, like 911 fast. But Jesus declines going, telling his disciples that Lazarus is merely sleeping. That's what we hear around the verses that I read to you. The disciples think then that there is no emergency. Jesus then states plainly to them, "Lazarus has died." Well, when Jesus arrives in Bethany, Lazarus has already been dead for those 4 days, and Martha runs out to greet him first, and she says, "If you had been here, our brother would not have died." Folks, when you hear that, this is Martha's faith. It is her passion. It is her belief and trust into Jesus. And so she is crying out through tears in great faith to Jesus. Well, Jesus tells her that her brother will rise again. But she interprets this to be about the resurrection of the dead on the final day. To where I'd pause and say, "Aha! Remember we've been saying the disciples haven't really gotten it. They've missed out on his life, death, and resurrection. That they haven't paid attention to what will happen in 3 days. They're still pretty clueless." Well, here Martha is recalling that promise. The teaching that Jesus has said. And she's holding on to that. But then when Mary sees Jesus, she also says, "If you had been here, our brother would not have died." Another disciple, Mary, saying a statement of faith, putting her trust into Jesus, and again, doing that through so many tears. Well, Jesus, seeing their pain, their suffering, their loss, he's deeply disturbed, it says, in spirit, so he weeps. The shortest verse in Scripture, Jesus wept. Yes, fully human, yet fully divine. And so Jesus, as he's disturbed and as he's weeping, he approaches that tomb and he shouts into that tomb. He says, "Lazarus, come out." And the miracle here is it says the dead man came out. But Jesus then has to instruct those around him to unbind him and let him go, which is a sign from Jesus that this is the last straw for the religious leaders, who immediately begin to form a plot to have him killed because they are seeing a God activity that they are very uncomfortable with. This is too much power that Jesus is calling upon, that Jesus is showing. And so they have a plot to kill Jesus right after this. The resurrection of Lazarus, you see, is the event that brings about the plan to kill Jesus. In other Gospels, the temple incident's the impetus for the plot to kill Jesus when he goes in and he tosses over the tables and he tells people to get out. But here in John, raising Lazarus to life causes the desire to put him to death. Why? Can you believe that? Jesus is bringing full life and the world is rejecting it. But they don't only want to kill Jesus here, they want to kill Lazarus too. In other words, bringing Lazarus to life brings about Jesus' death. Instead of them drawing close and saying, "What is this that this Jesus is doing?" they plot to kill him. It's quite a head scratcher. But Mary and Martha here in this text, they're demonstrating faith by sending word to Jesus that he could actually heal Lazarus. And that grief that they're feeling, the grief that Jesus feels, they're not limited by that. They're putting their trust through it and saying, God has to do something. God will do something. And in the weeping of Jesus, I think we observe that deep commitment and that connection with his humanity. Does Jesus grieve because the people are grieving? Is he troubled by their lack of faith? Does he yearn for a humanity that's so intimately connected to God that we are freed from our fears of suffering and death? And I think the answer is yes, yes, and yes. All of it is moving Jesus in a response. Now, it's interesting at the end of the text that as Jesus has done the lion's share of the work here, he looks at that crowd and he says, "Now you unbind him and let him go." I think the teaching here is pointing to the community, to the church, to the disciples of the world, that you are co-creators, that you are participants with Jesus in the freeing of humanity, in the caring of creation. What you're called to is to the unbinding work. And so if somebody is bound up by their tragedy, bound up by their sin, bound up by something in the world, a stumbling block in the world, that we are to go to work to remove that, to help unload that from a person's life so that that person can really, really live. This is where we talk about deep, connected relationships, where we need each other to do God work in the world. God has given us life, and we're called to help each other to live into that full life. And so this text is a waking up. It's a waking up for Lazarus. It's a waking up for those people of faith who have been following Jesus. It's a waking up for the community. It's a waking up for the authorities. It's a waking up to the world. God dreams life over death. God pins hope on resurrection over death, and God entrusts humanity to go to work in setting the world free. And so, folks, today, as you consider this great text then on the teaching of Lazarus, what has you bound up and stuck? What has you just maybe frozen or paralyzed in one place and it's hard to move out of? Two, when looking at others in the world, what causes you to weep? What causes tears to fall from your eyes? How are you like Martha and Mary there in your grief and like Jesus in his grief? What causes those tears? What causes you to weep? And the third question, if you had no limits, if there were no factors that were limiting you at all, What is it that you would gladly give your life to in order to unbind others and let them go? If time or money or anything else was not limited, what is it that you would gladly give your life to in order to unbind others and let them go? And however you answer that question, I want you to imagine yourself actually doing that, living into that, participating, taking some steps forward. Can you imagine what it was like for those who stood beside this newly resurrected person, Lazarus, unbinding him, taking off the grave clothes, everything that had been put upon him? Man, talk about joy, abundant joy that spills out as you imagine that happening. So a quick story on this, on this resurrection and how we might experience that too. I think about how as we struggle today and we see the violence. Just here a few weeks ago in Des Moines, Washington, just another block from our church, another mass casualty event at a restaurant at night where a fight broke out and three people were killed. And this is going on all around us. And we often see the event or we hear about the event in the news, but do we imagine all that comes after that? Do we imagine the humanity of those people and those family systems and everyone that is now held in grief by that tragic event? And I think as we go to work in the world, sometimes we can become so overwhelmed where we say, well, I can't put an end to violence, or I don't even know how to enter into that space and all of that. And I'm right there with you. Sometimes it's so big, I don't even know where to begin. But I do know how to participate with those living now in that grief. It's hard to imagine the act of violence, but for the families that are affected, the children who won't have a loved one, the resources they now won't have because a father or mother or a child was killed and they can't work and all of those kinds of things, it just expounds one thing after another. But here we are, the church, disciples, people in the world. And I want to be like Mary and Martha. I don't want to stop living. I don't want to become toxic and so angry that tears can't fall from the face or that the heart becomes hardened. I think that would be doing a disservice as God's people in the world. We are to stay soft. We are to stay open. We are to weep together. We are to grieve together. We are to go out and engage together to find families and to say, we're with you. You're not alone in this place of deep grief and at this point of suffering. We are with you, and God somehow is here in this place too. I know that's not the most uplifting thought to think about tragedy, but where do we do our work? Just like Jesus, he showed up in the place of tragedy. He showed up where healing needed to take place, where feeding needed to take place, where resurrection needed to take place. Where are those places today that we're being called to enter into? And then like Lazarus, what will he do? If he's the one who's been unbound by the community gathering around, what will he do once he realizes what the community has done for him? Who knows, right? But they're co-participants, they're co-creators, and they're forming community again to go out and live and love and serve and give like Jesus. So this week, folks, be unbound, be awakened. And like Lazarus and Mary and Martha and Jesus today, experience that new life that comes when God works in and through life to unbind us and to set us free. All right, stay thirsty, my friends.